Okay, so we have to see this sugya. We said yesterday the bottom of Chaf Vav on our base. We're going to continue into Chaf Zayin and Aleph as well. Well, we really have to try and get Be'ezus Hashem to the bottom of this. On how strictly are we adhering to Chomos? What type of Avera will passel somebody from Eidus? So far, we've seen that we've been very strictly adhering to Chomos. The one exception seems to be in this case of Choshud La'aroyos. Rav Shesha said, if he's getting Malkus, he's got to be posel, even though it's nothing to do with Momon over here, nothing to do with money. So let's have a look. We're on the Gemara on the sixth bottom line. Va'oma Rav Nachman. Says Rav Nachman, Ganov Nisan V'ganov Tishri Loi Shmei Ganov. Very fascinatingly, if somebody steals at a particular time of the year, when? Either in Nisan or in Tishri, he is not considered a Ganov. If you look at Rashi, on the third very wide line, Rashi says, Loi Shmei Ganov, Kedem Afarash V'Ozil, as the Gemara will explain. As we always point out, when Rashi says a comment like this, it means that Rashi is really telling us that it cannot be understood at face level, at face value, and yet Rashi is telling you, okay, fine, have patience, this is going to be explained. Yes, I understand that there's no way to understand this simply. Anybody reading this Gemara, obviously, we have no inkling of what the Gemara could possibly mean. Why on earth would it make a difference at what time of year you steal? So Nisan and Tishri, for some reason, not a Ganav. Rashi says, great question. Have a bit of patience. It's going to be explained, which means you don't need to now sit and try and work it out. The Gemara is going to explain. Says the Gemara, let's look back in the Gemara. Ganav Nisan, the Ganav Tishri, Loishmei Ganav. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili Ba'arisa Ver Dovar Mut. Do you remember yesterday we saw in a Tosfos that there are some Averas, whether they're severe or not is irrelevant, but if you have a very big Yetzahara, then you're considered less a Rosha. Not that the Avera is less severe, but it's mitigating circumstances because a person has a very severe Yetzahara. Not that we're in any way, Chas v'Shalom, condoning what he did, but it can be understood. We have a concept, and this is a very, very important concept. It appears in many areas of halacha, and it's called Moira Heta. Moira Heta. We'll see Rashi uses these very words. Moira Heta, Moira literally means to teach, like Torah. A person teaches himself a Heta. There are some, and I'm going to give a very painful example, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe people speak Lashon Hara more really than they should do. Why? Because they're Moira Heta. What does that mean, they're Moira Heta? They convince themselves that it's Mutta. It may well be that heart of hearts, they know that really it's Asa al Pi Halacha, but they're Moira Heta. They're Moira Heta. And this is what we're saying over here as well. Moira Heta, there are some Averas that a person commits. We're not suggesting, Chas v'Shalom, that they are Mutta, but rather that he's Moira Heta. He teaches himself, he sort of convinces himself, well, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I can find a halachic loophole. So in the final analysis, has he been over Avera? Absolutely. But why would I consider it not so severe, similar to what we said yesterday, when there's an overwhelming Yetzirah, not that there's any less Avera, but he somehow sort of capitulated. So sometimes a person capitulates because he got a great taiva, or a person capitulates because he sort of convinces himself it's not so bad. Well, everybody's doing it anyway. I'm not the only one. So have a look at Rashi now. But Arisa, what is an Arisa? An Arisa is somebody, it could be we've learned this in previous Gemaras. There are different financial arrangements that one could set up whilst working in somebody else's field. If you own a field and I work in that field, you can pay me on all different types of ways. You could either give me a fixed salary here, $10,000 a year, or you could pay me in proportion to output. So listen, I'm employing you, and you have every incentive to work hard because you're going to take 20% of all profits. So it's not a fixed wage, it's a percentage of the profits. That is called an oris. An oris is somebody who does not get paid a fixed wage, rather, he gets paid a proportion of the output of the field, which means everything that grows in the field is in fact partly his, 20% or 30% or 50%, whatever the arrangement is.
I think it's called a sharecropper.
Correct. In English, they call it a sharecropper. So I'm not getting a standard fixed wage. This is an oris or arisus. Here we're talking about an oris, and he's nibbling a bit from the field, and we're considering him, even though technically speaking, he's obviously stealing, but we're not considering him a ganav. So now let's have a look at Rashi. If you look back into the Gemara said three conditions: Hani mili ba'arisa, v'dava mu'at, u'b'dava. He's got to be an oris, it's got to be a small amount, and it's got to be on something shenigmara malachtoi, where the malach has been finished, meaning the crop is now ripe. Why are those conditions important? Why would we then no longer consider him a ganav? So have a look at Rashi now. Ba'arisa, detorach bo. The oris, again, we're not condoning, we're just explaining. The oris has been toireach. He has, after all, been working blood, sweat, and tears in this field. Umayraheter. This is the phrase that we said before. He's Mayraheter. He's Mayraheter. He sort of convinces himself, listen, I've been working so hard in this field. Surely it's allowed little dovor muot to take a little bit yoise al chelkoi, more than the chelek that I really have stipulated for me, mipnei torchoi, because of the work. So if I walk into your home and I steal $1,000, everybody understands that straightforward geneva. Nobody in the world could be meira heta for that. It's not something that I was toireach for. It's your hard-earned money. And if I walk into your house, open your wallet, steal $1,000, that's classic gezel. Obviously, I'm posel eidus, nothing to discuss. But over here, I did not walk into your house. I merely took a nibble off the peiros or the tvua in the field, which I was the one who was toireach for. I worked extremely hard for a year to produce this. Not that I have a right to take it. I have a chelek, that's true. I'm going to get my 30 or 40 or whatever it is percent. And here, however, I took a dover muot, a little bit more than necessary, a little bit more than allowed. That is something that a person could be moira heter for. Why am I moira heter? I think to myself, listen, surely the balabais won't mind. Surely he knows that I've worked so hard for this. Surely he knows that I'm anyway getting a chelek. I'm supposed to get my 40%, so I'll take 41%. Surely it's not a big deal. So because he's worked so hard, he's moira heter. Now again, let's not make a mistake. We are not condoning it. Is he a ganav? Of course he's a ganav. What did the Gemara mean when it says loy shmei ganav? We don't consider him a ganav with regard to being posel. Because he convinces himself he's not really genuinely the type of guy who blatantly will steal somebody else's money. That type of fellow, yes, is posel. He would never do that. Well, isn't that just what he did now? No, because he was Meira Heter, then probably it's basically type of sort of okay. Now, there is another halacha. Rashi continues. V'davar shenigmar melachto. It has to be again. Number one, we're talking about an oris. So he anyway is entitled to a percentage. The second condition was he's only taking a small amount. If it's a large amount, nobody's going to be Moira Heta for stealing all the payers. He's just taking one or two. And thirdly, it's a davar shenigmar melachto, something that's now fully ripe. Why does that make a difference, whether it's fully ripe, what stage of its development it's at? It says Rashi, the mashvi nafshei kepoil. There is a halacha called a poil. A poil is a different heter. A poil is a regular, straightforward employee. But if I'm working in your field on foods that are nigmar melachta, imagine that my job is to come into your field, not to plant, not to sow, not to water, not to irrigate. My job is just to collect the fruits off the trees. So there's a special halacha in the Torah, a poel who's dealing with fruits that are fully ripe. He's entitled to take some of those fruits. Now, this fellow essentially is not a poel. He's an oris. He was there right from the outset. But the problem is he's there all the way until the end of the process, dovosh and nigmar malachtoi. So he basically assumes that I'm now a poel. So if I'm now a poil, oh, well, surely by rights, I can have a bit of a nibble here and there. Says Rashi once again, umayri ba hetera. So once again, he sort of teaches himself that, well, probably it's okay. Vesavar loy kopid. I'm sure that the balabais is not really kopid. He's not makbid. I'm sure he doesn't mind if I have a bit of an apple there and a bit of an orange there. And that's what it means in Nisan and in Tishri. Why in Nisan and Tishri? What's unique about Nisan and Tishri? Apparently, those are the seasons in which he's working hard, all the payrus are fully ripe. That's the significance of those months. So not that he's not a ganav. It's also to do, there's no question about it, but he's Moira Heter. He's Moira Heter. Now, just as an aside, I'll tell you a fascinating psak halacha, which is a very interesting historical relevance. There is a famous tshuva in Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Mehele Gazeda, Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Rabbi Kiva Eiger was asked about kiddushin. Now, you'll remember we've discussed in the past Eidus on Kiddushin is a very different type of Eidus. When you have two Eidim underneath the chuppah, that's a different type of Eidus to Eidus, for example, on Chilul Shabbos or coming to Bezdin. Why? Because the Eidim under the chuppah not only are testifying that he has in fact married her, but they are in fact giving validity to the marriage. If somebody would give kiddushin to a woman and there would be no edim, it's not just that we don't know about it, they're actually not married. Marriage requires edim. If somebody was mechallel Shabbos and there were no edim, nobody's going to say, well, he wasn't mechallel Shabbos. He was. It's just that we don't know about it. But in the case of kiddushin, if there's no edim, then actually they're not married. It's very interesting. As we know, we've all been to the various chuppos, and of course they call up this Rosh Hashiva for the bracha, and this Rav for the next bracha, and this some other Magid Shir for a different bracha. That's all very nice. Do you actually know what is the main kibbud underneath the chuppah? It's to be the Eidim. Why? Because to get the brachas, anybody can get the brachas as long as you're male and Jewish. It's not essentially a kibbud. But to be an aid, you are the one making the kiddushin into a kiddushin, and you've got to be kosher aidus. Oh, that's a big covet. Either way, it means therefore, and this is a very, very big halachic shaila in many circles, and everybody can imagine this. When you have, for example, a non-religious wedding, there might well be a rav who's being masadik kiddushin, all fine and wonderful. One second, who are the aidim? If the Edom are possible Edos, then this couple are not married. So therefore, any Rav who's being Masada Kiddushin, one of the most important tasks that he has is to verify who are the Edom. That's critical over here. Who's saying the brachas doesn't really make a difference as long as they're Jewish? But who's the Edom? I need to make sure they're kosher Edom. So Rabbi Kiveiga has a phenomenal chiddush in Tshuvas. And he says, what about people who are shaving with a ta'ar? A ta'ar, as we know, is a razor blade, which is osa to shave with, and is an issa min ha-Torah, and essentially renders a person posel le'edus. Rabbi Kiveiga writes, if you have people who shave with a razor blade, who are Eidos for Kiddushim, the couple are married. How can that be that they're married? If somebody who shaves with a razor blade is considered invalid for Eidos, there was no Eidim, there's no Kiddushim. So Rabbi Kveiga writes, and this is very relevant to what we're learning now, is because for whatever reason, and we're not condoning this in any which way whatsoever, people in my generation are moira heta that it's mutter to shave with a razor blade. We're not saying that they're shagig. They're not shagig. It's just like a bit like later Lashon Hara, for example. So we're not saying that this is an aveira b'shagig. No, people know it's an aveira, but they're moira heta. They're moira heta. So Rabbi Kveiga writes, if they're moira heta, people somehow convince themselves it's not so bad and everybody's doing it, and maybe it's not so severe. And if that's the case, Rabbi Kveiga says they're kosher le'edus. So now I haven't looked up the tshuva for a long time, but l'chaira, our Gemara might well provide the basis for that tshuva. Because here we have in our Gemara a very similar case of which somebody essentially is a ganav, and yet the Gemara is telling us that he's kosher le'edus. Why? Because he's Moira Heta. So you see that when somebody is Moira Heta, they convince themselves that the Aveira is Mutter, even though it's not. We don't consider him a Rosha of the highest order, and therefore he'll still be kosher ladies. Yes.
Is there an inyan of Anas Rachmana Patre on this thing, or are all these non-religious Jews around the world not married? Because
So,
not too many people who are not in a frum community understand that the Edom have to be kosher le'edus.
correct. I don't know. I don't know. It's a very, very, very severe question. It's a very, very, very severe question. And in any reputable Rav who's been Masada Kiddushin, sooner than ascertain who's getting the brachas, more important is who are the Edom. Are
And
you right?
believe me
Who are
when I
the
tell you, most of these non-religious people don't have reputable ra rabbis.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not competent enough in news. I don't know. I don't know. It's a very, very severe question. I'll tell you something more scary. I'll tell you something more scary. The Gemara says that if somebody eats food in the street, he's posel eidus. So my uncle, some of you remember my uncle, Rav Zanga from Bnei Brak, he used to come and visit us once for a while. He gave a couple of shiurim in the Gra. Has a whole shiur about what about people who eat in the street nowadays? People eat pizza in the street or in restaurants on the tables outside. Are they posel eidus? The Gemara says, what happens if you eat in a train? On the bus, is that considered a street, or street only means if it's an open, but if it's in a car or a bus, it's different. Maybe a bus is also like eating the street, it's also a public place. He has a whole shiur. I do not know what his maskana is. Okay. Back to our subject. So if we're talking about somebody who is number one an Oris, why is that significant that he's an Oris? Because he's anyway entitled to a chelek. That's why he's Moira Heta, that I can sort of take a bit more. Number two, it's a Dova Muat. He's only taking a small amount. So again, he convinced himself it's okay. Number three, it's a Dova Shenigma Malalachtoi. So he thinks I'm entitled to it like a poil. So all of those conditions together will not therefore consider him postulated, says the Gemara. Ikre de Rav Zvid. What's Ikre? If I'm not mistaken, they translate Ikre probably as the farmer. No, is that the translator of Yosef, a
Yeah,
farmer,
farm laborers.
farm laborer. So Rashi says, Ikre, look at Rashi, Lav Hainu Oris. It's not an Oris. Ve'eno chelek bepeiros. He's not taking a chelek in the peiros. He's not a sharecropper. Rather, he's just a farmer. He's a farm laborer. He is a poel. He gets paid 100 shekel an hour. So, Ikrei de Rav Zvid. The farm laborers of Rav Zvid, Chad, one of them, Gonav, stole Kaba the Sa'ari. He stole a kav, which is a measure of barley, Upasle, and he passeled him. Why did he passel him? As we said before, because it's only in the case of an oris who's anyway entitled to a chelek. So over there, if he takes a little bit more, he was moira heter. But this person was not an oris. He's being paid a fixed wage, so he has no right whatsoever, and neither does he have any way of even being moira heter. So therefore, Rav Zvid says, well, if you took some from the field, you're absolutely posseledus.
He's not a poel.
Correct. He's not a poel. He has no right to take fruit. And therefore, if you did so, you're a ganav and you're posseledus. V'chad gonav, another worker, stole kibura dahini. Rashi says, kamin eshkol. It's a type of cluster. Yesh tamorim harabe ba'anaf echol, a lot of dates. And what did he do with him? Parsley. He made him posel as well. Again, in these cases, because he was a regular worker, but not an oris, number one. Number two is also a very large amount. Remember, we said before that you can only take a small amount, not that it's legal to take, but then you could be moira heter. Says the Gemara, Hanu kevoiroi. There were these people, Rashi says, kevoiroi kevrei mesim. They're working for the Chevra Kadisha, and they bury the dead. That's their job. So Hani Kavroi, says the Gemara, the Kavur Nafsha Beyom Tev Rishon Shel Atzeres. On one occasion, they buried somebody on the first day of Shavuos. There is a whole discussion about a Levaya on the second day of Yom Tov, but on the first day of Yom Tov, there's a different discussion. So they buried somebody on the first day of Yom Tov, which means it was absolutely osa lahalacha. So what happened? Shamtinu Rav Papa. So Rav Papa firstly put them in cheirem, excommunicated them for transgressing blatantly and in public a well-known issa, and upaslinu leedus, and pasul them for edus. Now look at Rashi, second bottom line. Upaslinu leedos d'mishum schar mamoin aldas. Once again, Rashi is bringing back the chomos discussion. Why, in fact, are they burying people on the first day of Yom Tov? They're doing it in order to earn money. They want to get paid. And therefore, it is once again their lust for money that's causing them to be over halachas, v'havaluhu, karosha de chomos. For once again, they're considered wicked people, like of chomos, and that's why he made them posel eidos. However, says the Gemara, v'achsherinu Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. But Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua, he disagreed with Rav Papa, and he says, no, they're kosher for Eidus. They're kosher for Eidus. Now what's going on? Omale Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said, I don't understand you. V'ho rishoim ninhu. These people are wicked. They're being over and over like this blatantly. They're doing it for financial reasons. So why on earth do you hold that they're kosher for Eidos? I passed them for Eidos. Surely I'm right. Why are you disagreeing with me? So they said sovri because they merely think that mitzvah ka'avdi. Mitzvah ka'avdi. Says Rav Huna, I think that these people are not Rishoim, and they assume that it's a mitzvah. Maybe they're ignorant of the halacha, and they think that if somebody dies on the first day of Yom Tov, he's got to be buried on the first day of Yom Tov. So don't tell me that they're Rishoim. To the contrary, they are genuinely convinced that they're doing a mitzvah. So why should I passel them for Eidos? Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Lahu. But haven't we put them in Chayrim in the past? Rashi explains that these people, it's not a one-time thing that they did. They were doing it repeatedly. They were burying people who died on the first day of Yom Tov, and they were put into a shamtu. They were put into some type of Chayrim. So how can you tell me second time and third time and fourth time? How can you tell me that, well, that they think that they in fact be Mekayim mitzvah? They can't possibly think that it's a mitzvah they're performing if they remember that from the previous time they got this shamtinu, they got put into chayrim. Look at Rashi on the end of the second bottom line. On the first time. The first time they did this, they got put into a chayrim. In which case, v'choizrin, and nonetheless, they repeatedly, v'oivrin, v'shainin, v'aveira. And they keep on doing it time and time again. So maybe the first time, we can be excused for thinking they assumed it was a mitzvah. But once they got put into chayrim, and they clearly were being shown that, well, that this is asa, and they yet, nonetheless, did it again and again and again, so surely they should be posel eidos. How could you possibly tell me? No. They think it's a mitzvah. How can they think it's a mitzvah when they're put into chayrim? Says the Gemara, sorry, because they think kapora ka'ovdi lon rabbonon. Fascinating Teretz. What does it mean, kapora ka'ovdi lon rabbonon? Sometimes the halacha is that even though you're allowed to be over an issa, for example, imagine somebody, chas v'shalom, is in a very dangerous situation on Shabbos, and we have to be mechallel Shabbos to save him. Now, if he asks his rav, should I be mechallel Shabbos? The answer is not just you may, but in fact, you're obligated to do so. Fine. So he's mechallel Shabbos and he saved his life. If he comes back to the Rav on Motzei Shabbos, do I need a kapora? Do I need to atone for that which I did today? And the answer is no, you do not. That's exactly what you were supposed to do. The Torah clearly writes that you keep Shabbos, except in a situation of pikuach nefesh, you have to mechallel Shabbos. So not only did you do the right thing, you don't need a kapora. However, sometimes the halacha is that yes, this is what you must do, but you nonetheless need a kapora. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says if somebody has a bad dream, then essentially he should fast that day. For reasons that we're not going to go into now, this is not commonly practiced nowadays, but the Gemara does say that. So if last night, Monday night, some people had a bad dream, Tuesday you're supposed to fast, it's got to be that day. What happens if somebody had a bad dream on Friday night? The Gemara says he should fast on Shabbos. Why on Shabbos? Because it doesn't help to fast the week later. It's got to be that very day. And yet the Gemara says, but however, you need a kapara. So even though on the one hand we're telling him that he's got to fast now, but nonetheless, he's got to do a kapara because at the end of the day, he didn't eat on Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here as well. These people from the Chevra Kadisha, they thought that the reason why they're being put into a cheirem is not as an oynesh for having done something wrong, but rather just as a kapara. They need a kapara because at the end of the day, they didn't keep Yom Tov. So what was the question? How can they possibly justify for themselves and think it's a mitzvah to bury people on the first day Yom Tov if they keep on getting this punishment? The answer is they didn't view it as a punishment. They just viewed it as a kapara. They thought that they needed atoning because at the end of the day, they did do malacha on Yom Tov. So that's why they're not posel eidos in the opinion of Rav Huna. They're not Rishoim. They genuinely thought it's the right thing to do. The fact that they were getting this oinish, they did not view it as an oinish, rather as a kapara. Look at the very last Rashi on the Omid. Says Rashi, Savri, they hold high the shamtinon. The fact that they got this seeming oinish of excommunication is mishum kapara. That is an oinish. They thought it's just as an atonement for having done a malacha on Yom Tov, al sha'ovarnu. The fact that we transgressed Yom Tov. At the end of the day, in order to bury someone, you have to transgress Yom Tov. But v'loy mishum d'nahader bon. But they didn't think that the reason why we've got this oinash is in order that we should retract. Ela muta l'chalel Yom Tov b'shvil ha-mitzvah. They genuinely thought that you're supposed to be mechalel Yom Tov for the purpose of this mitzvah, but nonetheless, you need a kapara. But v'neshev benidu, but you nonetheless have to sit out in excommunication for a short while, mishum kapara. And that's not a contradiction in their eyes. So therefore, if Papa, on the one hand, maintained that they were posel eidos, says Rav Huna, no. They were convinced wrongly, absolutely wrongly, but this is another example of being Moira Heta. They thought it was okay. They thought that it's a mitzvah to bury somebody on Yom Tov. So why were they constantly being put into short-term excommunication? Not as an oinish, not in order to retract and to prevent them doing it again, but rather because at the end of the day, they had to do a malacha on Yom Tov in order to bury. So they thought they need a kapara. But they nonetheless remained with their mistaken understanding that they thought it's a mitzvah to do, and therefore, says Rav Huna, they are not posel eidos. Yes.
This opens up a tremendous problem because there are a million different halachas. Shabbos, this and that. We could say, oh, but it's for a mitzvah. Guys, poor person doesn't have money. You know what? The only way I can get the money, I'll work on Shabbos. This way, I'll give tzedakah. I have no money for it. There's a million things that you could say
That's what the Gemara says. If the facts on the ground are that a person genuinely thinks it's a mitzvah, albeit he's mistaken, then yes, you're right. He would not be posel eidos. Not that it mitigates the avera, but he would not be posel eidos. He's not considered
in any situation. Or this,
we have to know. Like I said, so we've got a few examples over here. Somebody nibbling from the field, somebody burying on Yom Tov. We mentioned Rebbe Akiva Vega, somebody shaving in an illegal way, etc. Yes, it could be a general rule. We'll have to see if there's.
There are so many people today that say, you know what, it's better to drive to shul on Shabbos than to stay home and miss minutes.
Right.
I mean, it's another misguided.
So Al Kaponim, our Gemara would indeed be a basis for that discussion. Okay, we have to hold it over here. I hope you'll excuse me tomorrow. I'm going to attend the
business. Mazel tov, Rebbe.
Mazel tov. Please send information about time and place.
Okay, Blineda.
Okay.
Be well, everybody. Have a great day.
I'll take cottage. Bye.